Welcome to another episode of Spanish History 101, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. We are now heading into the final stretch of this, or what will become a 50-episode series on the history of Spain. But it hasn't been until episode 48, which is the current one, that we reached the stage where I appear in Spanish history, physically, that is, in the picture. Okay, anyway, let's get going and talk about this period. And today we are going to talk about Spain from 1982 to 2003. Remember, Spain has just finished the political transition from a dictatorship to a democracy under a constitutional monarchy. And it has done so in record time and without any real major upheaval, with the exception of a 24-hour failed coup attempt on February 23rd, 1981, and the persistent terrorism from the Basque group ETA. In other areas, change was sweeping the nation. Culturally, this was a period of explosion for the country. The famous Movida Madrileña, which was mainly a musical and also cultural revolution, was taking the country by storm. Spanish culture became unhinged, uninhibited by nearly 40 years of Francoist ideology and censorship. There were books and music, unbelievable wild fashions, movies. For example, nudity, they called it the destape, became popular. And by God, there didn't seem like there was a movie that came out that didn't have at least one scene of nudity, regardless of how unnecessary it may have seemed at the time. Anyway, Spain was also taking center stage on the world scene. In 1982, Spain hosted the World Cup. And in 1992, it hosted the Summer Olympics in Barcelona. Now, from 1982 to 2003, Spain underwent significant political, economic, and social changes that firmly established it as a stable democracy and a key member of the international community. The period was marked by the consolidation of democracy, economic modernization, Spain's integration into the European Union, as well as NATO, and its growing and increasing role in global affairs. The first period that we have is called the Socialist Era, which went from 1982 to 1996 under Felipe González, or González, who was the prime minister. As we mentioned in the previous episode, the victory of the Socialist Party in 1982 marked a turning point in Spanish politics. The PSOE, the PSOE, which is the Socialist Party, won an overwhelming majority, signaling the first time since the Spanish Civil War that power could be transferred peacefully between different political ideologies. His government focused on modernizing Spain, strengthening democracy, and integrating the country into European and global institutions. Spain underwent major economic reforms, including privatization of state-owned industries and restructuring of the labor market. The government also invested heavily in infrastructure and education, as well as social welfare. The highway system, for example, which today is amazing, if I can be honest here, was sorely lacking in development back in the 1980s, but they would bring that up to date pretty quickly. In 1986, Spain officially joined the European Economic Community, the EEC, which would later become the European Union. This would help modernize Spain's economy and help align it with Western Europe. Spain had initially joined NATO in 1982, but the Socialist Party had promised a referendum on continued membership. The citizens narrowly voted to remain in NATO. That was a very controversial thing for Spain, but it did on the other hand, solidify Spain's role in Western security alliances. And the Socialist Party introduced progressive reforms, including legalizing divorce, expanding women's rights, and improving workers' protections and conditions. The government also decentralized power by granting more autonomy to Spain's regions, known as the Comunidades Autónomas. By the early 1990s, Spain faced economic difficulties. Its economy was always going up and down, experiencing great moments of bonanza and then suffering within just a few years. This included a recession in 1992 and 1993, rising unemployment, and public dissatisfaction with corruption scandals that were rocking the socialist government. In particular, there was the GAL, G-A-L, affair, which was a counter-terrorist organization, in certain ways sort of like a death squad, which tried to inflict violence, including murder, on members of the Basque group ETA. All of these issues weakened González's popularity and led to his electoral defeat in 1996. In that year, the People's Party, PP, which is a center-right party, it's still one of the big parties in Spain, and it was led by a man named José María Aznar, and they won the general elections, ending 14 years of socialist rule. In the first 4 years, Aznar governed with the support of a number of regional nationalist parties who helped him to become the prime minister. But in the year 2000, when they held elections again, the People's Party, the Partido Popular, or the PP, actually won the absolute majority. Now, this period was another important step in the transition process of democracy. You know, we always talk about the Spanish transition period, which everyone generally refers to as 1975 to 1982. But in my opinion, this transition period actually can extend as late as 1996, when the Partido Popular is elected, because that meant that the Spanish were willing to allow a conservative political force back into the governing role. It was a vote of confidence, and it was important. Now, in terms of the economy, Aznar's government implemented conservative economic policies, privatized many state industries, and reduced government spending. Spain experienced rapid economic growth, and in 1999, it joined the first wave of countries adopting the euro as its official currency. Although Spain wouldn't switch to the euro until 2002, January 1st, 2002. Other subjects, terrorism and the Basque separatist group ETA, continued its violent campaign, carrying out bombings and assassinations. Aznar himself was targeted one time with a car bomb, and he miraculously survived. But the Aznar government took a hardline approach, increasing police action against the group and outlawing its political wing, Batasuna. In addition to that, ETA committed a number of major mistakes when it came to kidnapping and assassinating certain individuals like Miguel Ángel Blanco, who were considered to be minor people in Basque society, and yet they were mercilessly killed, and that really did a lot of damage to ETA's image. In terms of foreign policy, Aznar tried to increase Spain's presence in many different conferences and congresses. It had also brought ties closer to the United States and the UK when Spain supported the 2003 Iraq War, despite domestic opposition and massive protests. Now, in the 2004 election, Aznar had already announced that he would not be running for a third term. His government was credited with strong economic management, but its support for the Iraq War led to a decline in popularity and also to a massive tragedy that would take place in March of 2004, the Madrid train bombings, which resulted in the death of nearly 200 people, mostly commuters, the Partido Popular, and originally blamed ETA for the bombings, but soon people learned that it was actually Al-Qaeda behind the attack in response to Spain's support of the United States in the Iraq War, and that was just 3 days before the elections. And as a result, the Socialist Party, which was probably not going to win that election, ended up winning in a convincing manner. And the Socialist Party under Zapatero would take over and would transition Spain into another stage. So anyway, the 1982 to 2003 period, Spain transformed into a modern European democracy, achieved significant economic progress, and played an active role in international politics. The period was characterized by the consolidation of democratic institutions, the decentralization of power to regional governments, and Spain's integration into the EU, NATO, and the global economy. There were challenges such as corruption, which is still sometimes a challenge for this country. Terrorism remained ongoing for most of that period, or at least into the beginning of the 21st century, although it was sort of on its way out by then. And the biggest challenge would come later on from regional independence movements, in particular Catalonia, Spain's fiercest defender of self-rule. And that'll be all for this episode of Spanish History 101. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please leave us any questions or comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you wish to support Brian's Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free, so you can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they would like to. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.